Shalom Aleichem. Today in Mishnah Yomi, we are Bezrat Hashem finishing up Masechet Zevachim, all about the holy offerings. We are holding in chapter 14, Mishnayot 9 and 10. Yesterday, our sages of the Mishnah wrapped up the discussion of the historical events in which the Mishkan moved from place to place and the halachic ramifications of using a private altar during certain stages of Jewish history during the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. And as a quick recap, we've seen so far in this chapter that when the Mishkan was in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the desert, and when the Mishkan was at Shiloh, and when it was in Yerushalayim, it was absolutely forbidden to bring any type of offering on a private altar. And we're about to learn this changing halachic landscape has ramifications for the Isser of Shchutei Chutz, Halah B'chutz, of bringing an offering outside of the proper place. So Mishnah Tet Kol HaKadoshim, any holy offering, Shehekdisha, that the owner sanctified this animal, Bishat Isser Bamot, at a time when it was forbidden to use a private altar. V'hikrivan, and he went ahead and brought it as an offering, Bishat Isser Bamot, during a time period when it was forbidden to use a private altar, B'chutz, outside the temple, or outside Mishkan Shiloh, or outside the original Mishkan in the Midbar. Hare Elu, so behold, people like this are ba'asei velo tasei. They violated a positive commandment and a negative commandment, v'chayivin aleihen karet, and they are liable for spiritual cutting off for doing so. Now, back in chapter 13, we mentioned the scriptural source for offering up outside the temple or outside the Mishkan is in chapter 17 of Vayikra. And over there, it speaks about the negative commandment. Anyone who slaughters an animal in the camp or outside the camp and they're not bringing it to the Petach Ohel Moed, to the entrance of the Ohel Moed, meaning the Mishkan Hashem, it is like spilling blood. And it's a penalty of karet. And the next pasuk, verse 5 there, says this is... this commandment is in order that the children of Israel will bring their sacrifices to Hashem, to the Petach Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan. So there's not only a negative commandment not to do an offering outside, which carries karet, there's also a positive commandment to go ahead and bring your offerings to the sanctuary. So this first case is classic Shchutei Chutz, as we learned about in chapter 13. Now the second case in the Mishnah, Hikdishon Bishat Heter Bamot, someone sanctified an animal to be his offering at a time when it was allowed to use a private altar, v'hikrivan, but he waited to bring it, bishat iser bamot, until it was forbidden to use a private altar. For example, when the Mishkan was at Gilgal, it was allowed, he sanctified an animal to be his shlamim or his toda, and then the Mishkan was moved to Shiloh, and it was forbidden to use a bama. So hare elu ba'asei v'lo tasei, if he goes ahead and brings it on a private altar instead of bringing it to Shiloh, he has violated the positive and the negative commandment that are there in chapter 17 of Vayikra. V'ein chayivin alehen karet, but he's not subject to spiritual excision, to being cut off, because at the time he sanctified this animal, it was allowed to actually bring it on a private altar. Now the third case in the Mishnah is the opposite. Hikdishan b'shat iser bamot, someone sanctified an animal to be his offering at a time when he could not use a private altar. V'hikrivan, and then he brought it outside on a private altar. B'shat heter bamot, at a time when it was allowed to do so. So it could be he sanctified it during Mishkan Shiloh when it was forbidden. And then, of course, we mentioned yesterday, Plishtim captured the Aron, and then it was later returned and recovered, and the Mishkan was set up in Nov. And at that point, the Bamot, the private altars, were allowed. So the Mishnah says, Hare Elu Be'ose. He's violated a positive commandment to bring the offering, El Petach HaMoed, Ve'ein Behem Belotase. He's not subject to a negative commandment, because as the Bartner explains, the negative commandment and the karet penalty only apply when someone's offering outside at a time when it's forbidden to offer outside the Mishkan or the temple. Now let's go on to the last Mishnah in Zvachim. Eilu Kodeshim, these are the holy offerings, kravin b'mishkan, that must be brought in the Mishkan. So this Mishnah is discussing the historical period where the Bama, the communal Bama, was at Gilgal or Nov or Givon, when it was allowed to use a private altar for certain things, but not for everything, as we're about to see. So what are they? Kodshim Shehukdeshu L'Mishkan, offerings that are consecrated for the purpose of the public Mishkan. Karbanot Tzibor, these are the communal offerings, like the Tamidim, the daily Tamid offerings, one sheep in the morning, one in the afternoon, of course the Musafin, and all of the offerings for the holidays. Kravin b'mishkan. These must be brought at the Mishkan, at Gilgal or Nov or Givon. V'karbonot ha'yachid, but individual offerings, someone wants to bring a shlamim or a tauda, b'bama. Those could even be at a private altar. Now the Mishnah notes, karbonot ha'yachid, if someone makes an individual offering, shehukdashu l'mishkan, but at the time he's designating as an offering, he says he's going to bring it to the Mishkan, he wants to bring it to Gilgal, yikrivu b'mishkan, he should bring it to Gilgal. But ve'im hikrivan b'bama, if he brought it at a private altar somewhere else, pater. He has not violated shchut echutz or halab echutz, because after all, it was something that was allowed to do. However, the Mefarshim point out, he didn't fulfill his vow. He hasn't fulfilled his neder, so he really does need to bring a replacement offering at the Mishkan itself. Now the Mishnah asks, ma bein bamat yachid, what's the difference between a private bama, private altar, le bamat tzibor, to the communal altar at Gilgal or Nov or Givon? Smicha, leaning on the carbon. This was only done at the Mishkan and later at the temple. Shchita tzafon, the requirement to slaughter kodshei kodshim on the north of the courtyard. We talked about this in chapter 5. Matan sviv, giving all around. This refers to the blood applications on the Mizbeach. Recall certain offerings, we have to apply it to the two opposite horns on opposite corners, so the blood will end up on all four sides of the Mizbeach, and then certain offerings, the blood had to be applied on all four corners around the Mizbeach. Utznufa, and waving. Certain offerings and menachot get waved up and down and back and forth. Vehagosha, and bringing a mincha in the kli to touch the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Now this last one, Hagasha, only applies to a mincha, and Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, is of the opinion, ein mincha babama. There's never a mincha offered at a bama at all. And some of Farshim say there was never a private donated mincha during the whole time that bamot were allowed, and some say it means they couldn't bring a mincha at a private bama allowed, only at the public Mishkan itself. And the Rav Bartner explains that Rabbi Yehuda says the psukim that are talking about the bama is only talking about animals, not talking about a mincha, which of course is made of flour. It's not discussing that at all. Now back in the Mishnah resumes the list of differences. V'kihun. Kihun is Lashon Kihuna. The requirement of a Kohen doing the Avoda was only at the Mishkan, the central location, not at a private altar. So it could be that other people could do the Avoda there as well. It's interesting to note, in Daf Yomi, we recently mentioned Beit Honyo in Avodah Zarah 52b. Beit Honyo was a temple set up in Egypt by Honyo, who was supposed to become the Kohen Gadol. And he actually ran away, and his brother became the Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara explains in Menachot 109b. So Honyo was a Kohen, would have been Kohen Gadol, and he set up a temple in Egypt. And apparently, Mefarshim say he set it up for the non-Jews to bring offerings to Hashem. So there was a value, of course, to having a Kohen even outside the temple or the Mishkan. Back in the Mishnah, Big Day Sharet, the clothing worn in service, the Big Day Kahuna, the vestments of the Kohanim, Clay Sharet, and official sacred vessels for doing the offerings, a Reach Nichoach, and a pleasant aroma. The Mishnah back in chapter 4, Mishnah 6, says this means we burn the limbs and the parts on the Mizbeach raw. We don't cook them or roast them first, so they'll give off a pleasant smell. Mechitza bedomim, the dividing line for the blood, as we refer to the chuta sikra, the red line halfway up the Mizbeach, that certain bloods go above and certain bloods go below that line. That didn't apply on a bamat yachid. Rachut yadayim reglayim, and washing the hands and the feet, as the kohanim would do before the service, was not required. Aval, but what was always required, hazman. Zman is the disqualification of time. This takes us way back to chapters 2 and 3 when we talked about pigel. Having the intention to consume the offering at the wrong time would disqualify the entire korban, the whole offering. The hanotar and the time limits, nosar, the time limits for eating the meat of the offerings. The hatame, and somebody who is ritually impure could not perform the service or could not eat of the offerings. Shavin, bezei, uvezei. These halachot, these laws apply the same, whether they're at the communal bama or a private bama. This last line is a wonderful musar, especially in Chodesh Elul, the month of Teshuva, that even if you're not in a holy place at the moment, you still need to behave in an upstanding way. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we begin in Mishnah Yomi, Masechet Menachot, all about the Mincha offerings. Mazal Tov, Yashar Kochachem.